has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Dean Blundell and Company.
All the preteen children out there, listen to my voice. You are immortal.
I give it to the clowns and a Ric Flair.
I didn't realize it was my job to pump his tires.
Let's go now.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hey, happy Tuesday, 5:30, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Dean Blundell and Company, Ben Annis, David Bastl, Ryan Favreau. So much to get to today. Blue Jays win over the San Diego Padres. Padres' first ever visit to Rogers Center. We have our first major deal of the Major League Baseball season as the non-waiver trade deadline going August 1st, and the Chicago Cubs landing the big prize in the form of big lefty Aroldis Chapman. Hey, what a win for Dennis Shapovalov at the Rogers Cup. He's 17 years old. Nick Kyrgios appears to be a little nuts. We'll get into that in the next 3 hours. Maple Leafs sign a pair as well, avoiding arbitration with Peter Holland and Frank Corrado. But gents, Dave, Blue Jays win. The Blue Jays win. And I know we're going to have this conversation again today about Aaron Sanchez.
Yep.
I'm bordering on getting sick of it. I know John Gibbons is very much sick of it, but it's very much the topic of conversation the Blue Jays fans want to talk about, and rightly so. He was so good yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? And I don't want to jinx this or anything, and I don't want to say this in the middle of the summer, but we're watching a Cy Young performance. He is in the Cy Young.
Jinxed it.
I know I did.
Well,
but
yeah,
I'm just
the
saying,
other guy that's in how the running just cut up a bunch of jerseys. So yeah,
if they're taking a vote right now, he's on the top three ballot, which is outstanding and just another great case for him yesterday. Scatters three hits, only one hit out of the infield. The guy's been money. I get the impression, though, when I hear the post game with Wilner afterwards and you listen to what Sanchez has to say, I think he thinks he's going to the bullpen. I truly do.
There is a clip that I will play today after 6 o'clock that I haven't heard from Aaron Sanchez this season sound like this, where generally when he's asked the question, bullpen, rotation, where do you want to be? Where do you expect to be? It's usually, I'll do whatever the team wants to do. I'm prepared to be a starter. I want to be a starter. Let me start.
Correct.
But I'll do whatever the team asks me to do. This clip is a bit of a departure in which he does invoke the name of Matt Harvey, understanding that there are bigger factors at work here than just the 2016 season. To me, though, the balancing act has to come in understanding how good this guy is and what a travesty. So I think we all agree that the Blue Jays are good enough to make the playoffs.
Yes.
They're a good team.
100%.
Whether they do or not, okay, that's yet to be decided in a playoff spot right now. And if you get into a one-game playoff, who the hell knows? In a nine-inning game, anything can happen. But if you're in a playoff series, can you imagine this team, the way it's played, the way Aaron Sanchez has pitched, going into a playoff series without that guy starting either game one or two? That's a totally different team.
100%. It's taking that bona fide star out of that rotation. Yeah, because in a seven-game series or a one-game series, that's your guy right now. That is your guy. And in that seven game series, you hope that guy goes three times possibly, depending on days off. And he's no longer there. So you reduce innings pitched in a playoff series, Aaron Sanchez, from about 20 innings to about three. That's pretty significant.
It's massive. And I think the Blue Jays, well, I know the Blue Jays understand that, but the balancing act comes in whether you believe such a dramatic increase in innings will negatively affect his health going forward, which is, I mean, it sounds boring to talk about. Well, innings limits and 133 innings is maximum that he's ever reached before, but he only threw 100 last year, and trying to figure out exactly what the breaking point is, what is too much for Aaron Sanchez. Nobody knows, though. Nobody knows.
No.
And I don't want to put a guy's health on the line, because if it really is significant, and we're talking about a massive, massive percentage jump, if he throws If he's in the rotation as opposed to the bullpen the rest of the season, and there's a 50% chance if he does that, his arm is going to blow out next season. Obviously, that's not a chance you want to take, and not one you would even want Aaron Sanchez wanting to take. But if it's minute, and if we don't, if what the Blue Jays know is about the same as what we know, which is nothing, we really don't, we don't know anything. If that's what the Blue Jays know, and it's just, hey, we're taking our best educated guess at this thing, I think the fact that this team is good and he's so good and he's such an integral part of what the Blue Jays are trying to do this year, I think that should factor in making this decision. And yes, the health thing is important. I don't want you to sacrifice Aaron Sanchez, but I want you to win. And I want you to win a World Series. And the best chance for this team to win a World Series is Aaron Sanchez starting game one or two of a World Series if the Blue Jays got there.
Yeah, 100%. Now going back to his clip, because you did hint on it. We talked about it earlier about this. Do you get the impression that because he's kind of changed his tone, that somebody has sat down with him and said, hey, listen, we're not going to come out publicly with anything just yet, but just to let you know, there's about a 90% chance that you're going to the bullpen. We want to save you. And then they start giving him ideas and that. And because his tone has changed, and that's what I was alluding to. So he's not going to come out and say, well, everybody sat me down and said this is going to happen on August the 10th. But you get the impression that this is going to happen on, well, I'm going to say August the 10th.
Something, if it is going to happen, it's going to happen soon. And I would have thought if it's happening at all, it would happen now. Like that would be his last start yesterday, and he'd be off to the bullpen if it's happening. If you really want to limit the innings, if you really don't want him throwing 160, 170 innings, because the further you get along this road of him starting, and if you do eventually want to back him off and put him in the bullpen, the further you go in the season, the closer the innings are going to be, whether he's a starter or reliever. And then at that point, who cares? Like, what's the difference? But as far as what you're talking about maybe somebody being in his ear and he having a different sense of where this organization's going or getting different advice, the only thing that comes to mind, and to go back to the Matt Harvey situation of a year ago, was, yes, Matt Harvey said those things, but it was all spurred on by his agent, Scott Boras.
Yes.
Scott Boras was the driving factor.
He was the first one to talk about it, too.
He was, and he was the guy that kind of drove the wedge between Matt Harvey and the Mets fans and the organization and made it so awkward. He tried to, I guess, take the pressure off Matt Harvey and saying, hey, I'll be the one that says, okay, there's a lot of money on the line for Matt, but also for me. We can't afford to have this guy's elbow explode, and lo and behold, his elbow's exploded this year.
Yes.
It's an inexact science. We all understand that. But yeah, there is somebody, Aaron Sanchez included, he's somebody's meal ticket. He's his own meal ticket. He's looking to set his family up for generations to come financially, which is all predicated on him being healthy when he hits free agency in about 100 years in baseball terms, because he's so young and he's under team control for so long. But yeah, we forget about that oftentimes, that it's, we just think about fans and the organization in baseball terms, but there is a lot on the line as far as this guy's family and his future earnings are concerned.
Yeah, it really is. And this guy has been, you know, he really had a great mindset in the offseason. He came into camp with a little extra weight. I'd like to see him put on another 10 pounds of muscle this offseason.
I'd love to put on another 10 pounds, yeah.
You as well.
See, you said you didn't want to talk about Aaron Sanchez, and this has been a fascinating discussion to start the morning, because it's such an important, it's the most important topic in Blue Jays land. And I know you're speaking of clips we're going to play, John Gibbons, he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but it's the most important thing going on. And what, I mean, it's a fascinating story, but I like what Dave's thinking. But don't you think, if you ask Sanchez, I know he never wanted to say he was going to the bullpen because he wants to be a starter, but don't you think, if he had to tell the truth earlier in the season, he thought he would probably end up there, right? That's kind of been the theme.
Hope he would have thought that, because it was every 2 weeks, John Gibbons, Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins was saying that was happening.
And just that's how baseball's going now with younger pitchers.
Nobody's really done that, though, right? Like, that's a rarity where now we've seen guys shut down. We saw Steven Strasburg shut down a couple of years ago before the playoffs, couldn't pitch into the playoffs.
That was the worst.
Matt Harvey, They limited his starts down the stretch, and he did eventually pitch into the playoffs and pitch pretty well until he got to the ninth inning and whatever, game five, and then blew that lead. But not a lot of teams are going this route where guys transition to the bullpen, but not a lot of young arms have the type of relief experience that Aaron Sanchez right. has, right?
Yes.
That plays into it, too, that he was just such a good back end of the bullpen reliever for this team just a season ago.
And I think as Blue Jays fans, at least from my perspective, I always thought that, you know, I'm okay with that. You thought Sanchez would fill some innings, be pretty good, and then end up there and be great down the stretch. But he's been so unbelievable that it makes that possibility kind of scary, because he's the bona fide ace of the staff yeah. now, really. Right, like going into next year, it's not Marcus Stroman who's the ace. It's going to be Aaron Sanchez. And that's kind of a scary thing altogether, because every time we anoint an ace in Blue Jays land.
Last 2 years, at least.
Drew Hutchinson's going
to
start
well,
the season.
Well, let's go back to Ricky Romero and make that three of the last yeah. 5 years, right?
Right.
You know what the funniest thing, guys, is the two major stories out of spring camp, and now we look at it here on July the 26th and kind of laugh at it, is one, who's the closer of this ball club? And number two, is Aaron Sanchez a fifth starter or is he a bullpen guy? And it's like, well, one guy is no longer with the club, Drew Storen. And, of course, Aaron Sanchez has been the best pitcher throughout spring camp and also this major league season, and there's no doubt about that.
There isn't. Jose Bautista, also returning to the lineup yesterday, was the leadoff man, played right field, took a walk, did have a single to left field as well, said he doesn't feel 100%. He's been open about that, thrown back in the leadoff spot. That Blue Jays lineup, pretty close to, I think, your maximum best Blue Jays lineup. It's at least the one they hope to trot out there day after day. I have some qualms about Justin Smoak. I've been pretty vocal about that.
Well, what happens when Upton is acquired? Well, I can't figure this one out. This is something else we're going to get. Jays apparently reportedly the front runners again for Melvin Upton. Can we call him BJ? I want to call him BJ.
I really
Upton.
Do. I want to call him BJ as well. Yeah. Boss Man Jr.
And he was good when he was BJ, right?
Right. Well, until he wasn't, yeah.
Well, yeah. It depends on the season or what month of the season. And if you look at his stats, they don't look that great. And I look at the lineup. I'm trying to piece it together last night. This is what I'm thinking about at 11 o'clock instead of sleeping. It's like, how is Melvin Upton, is he still junior? Is Melvin Upton?
He's Melvin Upton Jr.
Junior, yeah.
Oh, so he's still the junior.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he was boss man. Yes. B.J. Upton was boss man junior. So now we're throwing the junior on the end of Upton now.
Okay.
But it used to be before Upton. Now it's after.
So if these reports are true, I don't see how it makes sense. Other than next year, you want a guaranteed outfielder who has an absurdly huge contract.
Yeah, but anyway, $16 million plus.
But just looking at this year, it would have to me mean that somebody off this roster right now is going out the door, doesn't it? Or is it just he's one of the four outfielders they rotate around? I don't know. Well, John Morosi joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll ask him about this.
I also was thinking about this. Maybe not at 11 o'clock. 10:30 is before I went to sleep. But yeah, it seems that if you're acquiring Melvin Upton, Justin Smoak is the odd man out, and Upton's playing right field every day, and it's Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion sharing time at first base DH, and does that necessarily make this team better? Because, frankly, Melvin Upton, while he has all the skills in the world and at times has shown the ability to have that combination of patience and power and speed, the speed is still there because he does have 20 stolen bases, which is actually pretty impressive, with only 5 times caught stealing. He's essentially offensively, he is Justin Smoak this season. He's a guy who has a .304 on base. He's hit for a little bit of pop, and he's shown the ability to hit for power, albeit in a bad hitter's ballpark, so that's impressive. In San Diego, he has 16 home runs this season. But yeah, offensively, you're not getting much more than Justin Smoak. What you are getting, I suppose, is an upgrade slightly defensively
Jose Bautista. Some speed, just like you said.
Yeah, speed as well. It's something. I guess I'd rather have him than Justin Smoak. Can he hit a curveball?
Well, he's had some success at the Dome, so there is that. He's played within the division before. The other thing is, I know you'd love to have Jose and Edwin's bat in the lineup every single night, but that would mean one of those guys would have to play first base.
Right.
Do you want to play Edwin as much at first base as possible?
You know what another part of this Justin Smoak thing? And people talk about, oh, his defense. Oh, what a great glove at first base. He's a fine defender. He's not otherworldly at first base.
No, but he's much better than the other two options.
I wouldn't even say much better.
Really?
I think I would. Edwin
Encarnacion. Bat-wise, okay, there's no comparison, right? We know that. But yeah. Glove-wise, I think Justin Smoke's pretty solid first base.
Edwin Encarnacion gets a bad rep defensively because people remember the job he did at third base. The guy can pick it. He can't throw.
Well, his nickname was E5, which is a tremendous
A good one.
Man. I really like
and
that.
And it was well-deserved at third base. Yeah.
But once you're right. He's good at first. He's fine.
Yeah.
Do you want him there every day? Or do you worry about his health because he's previously had injury issues? It seems like the dirt infield's been a good thing for him.
Yeah. Right?
No, because he's the type of player, and I'm not trying to sit there and throw content
on. You're fear-mongering.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe I am, but he's also the kind of guy that, you know what, he makes a twist to left, twist to right. That sort of thing has a better possibility of injuring himself rather than a Justin Smoke.
Right, and we'd rather see Justin Smoke injured than...
that's what I'm getting at, yes.
That's for sure. Also, yesterday, Denis Shapovalov, he's 17 years old. He beat the 19th ranked player in the world, Nick Kyrgios, who has a bad haircut and is a little nuts. And he was making some comments on the court that were picked up by Arash Madani, who will join us later in the program. We'll talk about Kyrgios and the mercurial nature of his character coming up next. Ben Annis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau, it's Dean Blundell and Company, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio.
Light it up.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Dean Blundell and Company, Ben Ennis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau. Blue Jays win yesterday 4-2 over the San Diego Padres. Game two of this three-game set goes tonight, 7 o'clock. Marcus Stroman on the hill against Andrew Cashner in what I suppose could be Cashner's final start as a San Diego Padre. Also interesting, Melvin Upton Jr. didn't play yesterday.
No.
For the Padres, and the Blue Jays rumored to be the team with the best shot of landing him. Also yesterday in a match you could have watched on Sportsnet, Denis Shapovalov, he's 17 years old. He was the junior boys champ at Wimbledon this season, playing 19th overall in the world. Nick Kyrgios of the Rogers Cup, and beat him in three sets. And that's cool. That's interesting. Kyrgios is an interesting fellow. And I think we got a sense of that during this match. He's a guy... He's said before that he's not really that into tennis.
Yeah.
He continues to play because he's really good at it and he can make a pretty decent living playing tennis. And it's a lot easier than, say, pumping gas or breaking rocks.
Yeah. The 9 to 5 is a little more vigorous on his schedule, right?
Yeah. And apparently was not that into yesterday's match, despite the fact that he did push it to three sets. Arash Madani, who, by the way, is going to join us after 8 o'clock today, was Sportsnet's reporter at the match, and he apparently looked right into Arash's eyes, made eye contact with Arash, and said, "I just don't want to be out here anymore. I don't want to play anymore." That was in the first set. He did continue to play. Is there an obligation for a guy with as much skill as he has to care at all? Because it does seem like a bit of a waste, although... We all, and while we enjoy what we do, at times it does feel like a job. You don't want to be at work every time you come to work, but generally it's something we love. What if Nick Kyrgios just hates his job, but he's got to make a living? Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, well, depending on what you do, because I don't know if any of us would want to go into our boss's office here and say, "Hey, I just don't want to be here today."
Yeah, exactly.
But I got to go do a show, so I'll talk to you later. You know what? As a paying fan, I'd be kind of reluctant to want to go to one of his matches. I mean, he is a curious case. He is. You never know what you're going to get when he's out there. He's a little WWE-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sport kind of needs a little bit of a heel. I don't know if they need this type of heel, but I guess, to each their own as far as how he handles things. And he has to pay his own mortgage. He has to pay his own ways and so forth. But wow. What a way to do it, though.
He was the guy who famously told Stan Wawrinka that he was involved in sexual relations with his girlfriend, which is, if you want a sports heel, that's a good way to go.
Now, that happens on the ice in the NHL probably every shift, but in tennis, because it's one-on-one, Ryan, it's one of those things where I hear what you're saying because you're the only one across the court from me.
That's what kind of makes tennis interesting, and if you read, bios on tennis professionals, like Agassi has a great bio, and just talking about how weird it is being a tennis athlete because everybody's looking at you for like 5 hours.
Yes.
And you go through all these different emotions from crazy to focused to tired to, and it just gets a little nuts. And Kyrgios is probably the most nuttiest of all tennis athletes. I think it's good because I always say in sports like tennis and golf, any athletes that give us a reaction, strong reaction, whether it's love or hate, is such a good thing because it doesn't really happen in those sports too often, does it? I mean, do you have serious, passionate reactions to tennis players and golfers like you do other athletes?
The guy you think of is John McEnroe, right? But there's not a lot of those guys in tennis anymore. Roger Federer's not that guy.
It's such a clean sport. It's white shorts, white shirt, don't say anything bad.
Right, need a little dirt.
Yeah, give me Nick Kyrgios over Stan Wawrinka or Novak Djokovic any day.
It's it's funny, too. The media looks for reaction, and then when they get it, it's like, whoa, what are you doing? Did you just say that? And it's like, well, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I loved it, and we'll talk more about it as the day goes along. We'll also talk about the Blue Jays, and we'll talk about Aaron Sanchez. Can't get enough of that discussion coming up on the other side of this break. Ben Ennis, David Bastl, Ryan Favreau, it's Dean Blundell and Company, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now back to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Dean Blundell and Company. Ben Ennis, David Bastl, Ryan Favreau. Lots to get to in the next 3 hours. Blue Jays win. The Blue Jays win. Make up ground over the Boston Red Sox. Not the Baltimore Orioles, though. Aaron Sanchez is good in everybody's favorite ongoing discussion point for the Blue Jays. Not a lot, though. I must say, as far as controversial issues surrounding this Blue Jays team, Dave, there's Aaron Sanchez, bullpen, starting rotation. There's, I guess, Justin Smoke, whether he plays first base, whether you move somebody in into that DH role with Edwin Encarnacion playing first base. That's about it.
I can't think of any other
massive issues with this team.
No, I guess utility infields. Sometimes Barney's in, sometimes Barney's out.
And Ryan Goins is still, by the way, making that rehab assignment. And we haven't heard from him.
No.
Even though he appears to be fully healthy.
100% healthy, yeah.
Yeah, there's just, I know I'm sort of bordering on being sick of the conversation because it's, what a shocker. Aaron Sanchez was good again. He's been good all season long. He's shown no tiring. He hasn't shown any decrease in velocity. He looks just as sharp now as he did in start number 5 of the season.
Yep.
The narrative is still the same for me, and still, here we are. We're almost in August, right? August 1st is Monday, And we're still discussing whether or not Aaron Sanchez is going to the bullpen.
Right.
Which tells me if this isn't happening, if he makes another start, you get to a point where the difference between him in the bullpen and him in the starting rotation is so close. If it's 20 innings, if it's 30 innings, is that really worth taking a guy out of the possibility of starting in the postseason? It doesn't seem like it is, but I'm not privy to all the medical information the Blue Jays have.
No, exactly. You know what? When you look at the schedule ahead, because they have not to jump too far ahead, but I get the impression that he will start. We're talking about Aaron Sanchez here. He will start this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Orioles red hot as of late. Winners of five straight. We'll see how they are this weekend as well. I have a feeling decisions will be made after this next start. So it kind of gives you that leeway of, okay, he's good to go in about 5 days. After that, it's already into August. Where is he going to pitch? Is he your starter? Is he a number? I guess he would technically, I'd imagine he'd be the eighth inning guy. I don't know if he'd be.
Although Jason Grilley's been so good there.
He has been very good there. So maybe you have a couple options in the 7-8 and you don't have a firm guy in that spot. But I get the impression that because this series coming up with Baltimore is so critical, he does make the start this weekend and then decisions to be made. I hope they come out and actually say, okay, this is what's going to happen. And we're not sitting here guessing about it next week as well. And all of a sudden, he's in the bullpen sitting beside one of the guys.
They used to be upfront about him going to the bullpen. Every other week, you'd hear John Gibbons say it. They don't say that anymore. It's
nope.
Getting more and more vague. But let's get into the Blue Jays story.
One thing before you move, doesn't it kind of coincide? We're 6 days away from the trade deadline.
Yeah.
How much does that play a factor? It probably shouldn't.
It should not.
But does it? Because you should be thinking about the health, ideally, first and foremost. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but doesn't it kind of depend on what you get done or should it in the next 6 days? If they can't get a starter they're happy with or at a price they're willing to pay, does that affect what they do with Sanchez? I'm not saying that's the way they should go about it, but hey, it should be looking to win the World Series this year. And how's your team look next Tuesday?
I hope against hope that there is nothing hinges on the Blue Jays acquiring Andrew Cashner before August 1st. Because you know what? Andrew Cashner, in comparison to Aaron Sanchez, is a garbage man. And he might be a garbage man compared to Drew Hutchison, the way he's pitched the last 2 years in one of the best pitchers' ballparks in all of baseball. There is no acquisition you can make, unless it's Chris Sale, before August 1st that supplants Aaron Sanchez in the starting rotation. So if it's a decision that's made on anything other than the health of Aaron Sanchez, I'm going to pound my head against the wall because that's all that should matter here. If it's just about baseball and, the bullpen could be better with Aaron Sanchez. No, who cares? The rotation is as good as it can get with one of the best starters in baseball in it. So if it's just baseball, there's no discussion. There really isn't. And if there is, I'm frightened for the future of this franchise, because there's no doubt in my mind that Aaron Sanchez's value comes in the starting rotation. And again, you got me down the Aaron Sanchez road. And I know we're going to have more Aaron Sanchez discussion.
We're going to be banging that drum all day.
And we have been all season long. But why not? All right, let's get into it with an update. Another start, and yes, another dominating performance from Aaron Sanchez yesterday.
Aaron's pitch. Fastball, strike three called. Caught him looking up and in. One down. He's still got that mojo here, even though his pitch count's at 93.
Yes, mojo working. Jerry Sanchez improving to 11-1 this season. Again, I'm not into pitcher wins, but 11-1 is 11-1. Blue Jays beat the Padres 4-2. Sanchez 7 scoreless. John Gibbons speaking for all of us, I think, when he was asked about Sanchez's potential move to the bullpen.
Well, I'm not talking about that anymore, so if it happens, you'll know about it. If not, quit asking. You know, he's put himself in the elite class in baseball at a young age, very little experience. Even tonight, he didn't give up many hits. He gave up those little infield bleeders. I mean, he's got such good, great life on his fastball. It's tough to square him up, and he threw enough curveballs over to keep everybody honest and even some good changeups. So he's really coming into his own, really, I think, just scratching the surface.
Poor Bayer, poor Barry Davis. I'm sure it was Barry Davis who asked that question. Who has to ask the first question every day, right? And you get it. What else are you going to ask? You have to ask about Aaron Sanchez of the bullpen, but you know what the response is going to be.
Yep.
And it's the same response you'd probably give if you were asked every 5 days about Aaron Sanchez of the bullpen. I don't know. Leave me alone. Stop asking me this question.
They'll ask him again next start, too.
Right. Until there's clarity in the situation, the reporter's job is to ask that question.
Right.
As annoying as it might be to John Gibbons. And speaking of Sanchez, couple stats. We know he's been good. How good? Now sits second in the second in ERA in the AL. He's basically first in ERA if you're not counting knuckleballer Steven Wright. So yeah. He has a better ERA than Chris Sale, which is kind of crazy. 11-1, 10 straight wins. First Jay to do that since Roy Halladay. Hasn't lost in over 3 months. Has gone 16 straight starts without a loss. That's tied for fourth longest streak in Blue Jays history. So we're watching something special this season.
Better shut him down. Better move him to the bullpen, though.
Well, health's first, as you say.
Right. Right. Well, speaking of health, this is the first time I've heard Sanchez talk about being cautious.
I mean, you got to look long term with this. I mean, I'm not just here to pitch in 2016. I'm here to pitch for 5, 6, 7, you know, however long it is. So, you know, that's a situation and the talks that are being talked about. We got to understand what's best for me down the road. There's no perfect science to this. Like I said before, you see what's going on with Harvey and guys like that. You know, you don't want to fall into a scenario like that.
Okay, so I think there's a lot to parse here with this this quote, this clip from Aaron Sanchez, because he did back off a bit in saying it's not a perfect science. We don't know 100%. But whenever you invoke the name of Matt Harvey, who's the poster child for, well, maybe it used to be Steven Strasburg. I think now it is Matt Harvey with the way that went down at the end of last season with the number of innings and the cautious approach that Harvey wanted to take, that Scott Boras wanted to take with his client, and the way things turned out this season for Matt Harvey with the season-ending injury. There's that, and there's also the fact that, hey, that can happen either way. You can be the Yankees protecting Jabba Chamberlain with the Jabba rules, and still the elbow explodes. But that's the first time, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the first time I've heard Aaron Sanchez talk about anything other than, I don't care, give me the ball every fifth day, but if not, put me in the bullpen, I don't care. I'll do whatever's asked of me by this team. I'm not even thinking about my health because I feel fine.
Yeah, and that's why I get the impression somebody sat down with him and said, look, this is our guidelines. These are our future plans. This is what's going to happen. I truly think that Sanchez knows that he's going to be in a certain spot on a certain day, and he's just not allowed to come out and say it. It just screams of it. This is never a surprise. You just don't all of a sudden come to work one day and say, hey, you're going to be playing this. There's a lot of discussion that goes on. This current management seems to have, I guess, a little more play on, not the analytics side of it, but the sports science side of handling Aaron Sanchez and what they want to protect, the arm, the golden arm.
If there is a target date, if they're looking at a specific number of innings, a specific number of pitches, they know, if not the exact date or the exact start after which
exactly
they're moving him to the bullpen. If they do know that, why wouldn't they tell us? What is the benefit strategically? Oh, what? So the Baltimore Orioles, they know, oh, they're getting Aaron Sanchez's last start. How does that change things? I just don't understand why, if you did know it, if you really hadn't made up your mind, if you have made up your mind, why wouldn't you just tell us? I don't understand the purpose of that.
Yeah, well, you know, organizations don't say much at the best of times, so I just think it's, you put that in that file.
It would make John Gibbons' life a lot easier.
It would make everybody's life easier.
It might make our lives a little more difficult because then we'd have something definitive to talk about instead of speculating, which we can do all day. Oh, boy, rampant speculation is delicious.
Yeah, Dave makes a lot of sense there. I kind of buy into it, but I was going to ask the exact same question you did, Ben, is why not tell everyone so it's out there? I don't see a downside. And Dave's answer was exactly why, because teams keep stuff secret. But that's usually about health, or right, if somebody has an injury to their elbow or something. You know, it's not about...
Yeah, you can target a guy's injury.
Or football or whatever, right? In this case, you can't. So
I don't understand it.
That's...
So you know, actually, I did think of one.
Okay,
All right, I got it.
Fire away.
Figured it out while you were speaking, because I wasn't listening to you. I was just, thinking about what I was going to say next, as it normally is the case.
Should be.
So you mentioned last segment, the non-waiver trade deadline approaching. Should the Blue Jays' decision be predicated on what they're able to do at the deadline?
Right.
Maybe this is a negotiating ploy. Maybe it tells other teams because... the San Diego Padres are saying, hey, you know what, Blue Jays, we're going to hold you over the fire for Andrew Cashman because we know you're moving Aaron Sanchez to the
bullpen.
Great point. Maybe we're keeping Aaron Sanchez in the rotation. You don't know. Maybe it's a leverage thing. I figured it out. Wow, mark the time, 6:13 in the morning. I just, there you go.
Yeah, you figured it out. Smart. See, we hashed it out here. You hashed it out, but I'm going to take some credit for it, too.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to speak next time because then I'm going to figure more stuff out. Also, Jose Bautista made his return to the lineup yesterday, hit leadoff. He was 1-for-3 with a walk. It was 4-0 headed to the ninth. We got to play this clip before Matt Kemp doubled off Bo Schultz. And then Alex Dickerson did this.
Schultz set. Delivers. Fly ball deep right field. That's hit a ton. Where's that going to end up? Fifth deck. A fifth deck home run here by Alex Dickerson. And all of a sudden, the Blue Jays' lead is cut in half, 4-2, as the San Diego Padres continue their run. That's 23 straight games now, a franchise record and counting, hitting a home run.
My goodness. This is part of what makes baseball so great for me, because it's a 4-0 game, and the Blue Jays are likely going to win. It did get dramatic there, because that was it for Schultz, and understandably so. As Roberto Osuna came into the game at that time, 19th homer hit into the .500 level at Rogers Center. You can see something you've never seen before, although we've seen it 19 times at Rogers Center. Here's the list, guys that have hit fifth deck shots at Rogers Center. Jose Canseco did it 3 times. So there's 19 times. Canseco 3 times. Mark McGwire, who's the hitting coach for the Padres, he was there yesterday and gave Dickerson a high five. Joe Carter, Carlos Delgado, Sean Green, Manny Ramirez, Raul Mondesi, Josh Phelps did it twice, Gary Sheffield, Vernon Wells, Jason Wirth, Shelly Duncan, guy I hadn't thought about in a long time, Edwin Encarnacion twice, Mike Napoli, and now Alex Dickerson. Maybe the most obscure name on that list.
Shelly Duncan.
Yeah, you're right, Shelly Duncan.
Hey, Josh Phelps was no all-star there. Yeah.
No, but he did have some monster home run years. The guy could mash and also hit 201.
Big time. You ran down the list there, but of those 19 home runs to the 500 level, only 3 to right field. Carlos Delgado in 98 and Sean Green in 99. So that's the first one that's been up there in what, 17 years, which is crazy. And you mentioned Mark McGwire, who was in the Padres dugout last night. It was hit exactly 20 years to the day of the first regular season fifth deck home run of all time, and that was Mark McGwire back in 1996. So
that's
there
awesome.
You go. Yeah, that was mashed.
There's a couple of things you can do in baseball that are impressive when it comes to home runs. I like the fact that Rogers Center, maybe there's a further home run if you hit it to center field, like if you hit it into the flight deck, maybe that's impressive. There's nothing more impressive when it comes to hitting a home run at Rogers Center than hitting it into the fifth deck. Is there a comparison? I know in Anaheim, people talk about hitting it off the rock pile.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium, hitting it into the batter's eye there in center field is
old,
a thing.
Old Tiger Stadium when Cecil Fielder took it out of Tiger Stadium.
Off the roof.
that was pretty cool.
Hitting it into the parking lot at Fenway. Although it doesn't take much. You just got to get the right loft on it to left field. But yeah, it's still a thing hitting it into the fifth deck at Rogers Center. Series continuing tonight. Marcus Stroman takes the mound against Andrew Cashner, who has been consistently named in trade rumors and rumors surrounding the Blue Jays as well. Also, Melvin Upton Jr. did not play yesterday. Fox Sports' Ken Rosenthal reporting the Blue Jays, the front runners to land him. Upton Jr. owed a balance of $15.45 million this season, so the remainder of that, plus the full $16.45 next season. And according to Rosenthal, the Padres' return will hinge on how much of that they are willing to eat. He's shown moments of brilliance and then moments of not so brilliance. It would be an interesting acquisition by the Blue Jays, to say the least.
Speaking of which, we now have breaking news on this subject.
How often do we get that at 6:17 in the morning?
I don't know. It's quite interesting. interesting. It's very weird. Ken Rosenthal, who you just mentioned, we have breaking news. He just tweeted this. Sources, hashtag Blue Jays agree to acquire Melvin Upton Jr.
Ooh, really?
From the San Diego Padres for a Class A prospect.
Really?
Financial terms not known, likely finalized today. This was 3 minutes ago. Ken is up early.
Wow.
So
at this early in the morning, that's fantastic.
I love it.
So how much of the money do the Blue Jays want the Padres to eat? Because I'm guessing it's probably between $5 and $6 million.
I would hope it's more than that. Honestly, well, for next season, I would hope they're eating almost half of that, what, $16 million deal for next season. Because you look at what was Jay Bruce owed next season? He was owed $9 million, I think, right? And even that was kind of dangerous. The Blue Jays were talking about. Right. Here's what I would like the ideal scenario for me, because yes, I just mentioned the Rosenthal tweet yesterday that the return for the Padres depends on how much money they are willing to eat. I hope they eat none. I hope the Blue Jays just take on that contract and say, here's a crappy prospect because we're just going to take all this cash and they're not paying to give away a prospect. That the return for the Padres is not, hey, we'll eat some of this cash if you give us a prospect. I hope it's nobody we've heard of. Are you going to be happy if this is Dalton Pompey headed the other way?
Yeah.
He's not a Class A.
Yeah. So
is it? What about Richard Urania, who's a guy who's popped up this season as a guy who's now a prospect? Well, he's a shortstop, and he's hitting like 300 with Dunedin. I just hope this isn't a guy we've heard of, because Melvin Upton, while he's shown at times to be able to do things, essentially this season is Justin Smoke. And Justin Smoke ain't that great offensively.
Smoke with speed.
Yes.
On base percentage, which is .304, which is 20 points below the league average.
Yeah.
Which is not good. But he gives the Jays a different dynamic. So how does he fit in? Let's start with your prospect point. If it's a Class A prospect, let's hope it's not an A-lister we've actually heard of, you said. But let's think World Series. Does he help the Jays?
Oh, I love it.
What are we trying to do here? Last summer, last fall was a lot of fun. I want to do that again. I think a lot of Blue Jays fans want to do it again and not care about Urania in 3 years, right? We got Tulowitzki. I'm cool with that. So does he help the Blue Jays win now, and how does he fit? That's what we should care about, I think, right? I assume it's not our top pitching prospect here, so... For a guy who has a 304.
From an outfielder's perspective, having an Upton in a lineup rather than a Cabrera or a Junior Lake, I think is a significant upgrade, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're rotating guys, because that's what's going
to
happen.
I don't think you're acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. to be the fourth outfielder, though. This is a guy who's going to play every day, which means Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion are sharing time at DH first base. That's the only way I see it. Or... you play him in left field and Michael Saunders is DHing on occasion, but you're not going out and acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. despite the .304 on base.
Sure.
You're not doing that. He does have 20 stolen bases, which, by the way, do kind of jump off the page of you. 20 stolen bases is a lot.
Doesn't happen as often as it used to, right?
Right. I mean, guys don't steal bases, and the Blue Jays do not have that aspect to their game. There's nobody that steals bases on this team right now, but you don't go out and get Melvin Upton Jr., especially if it's for a guy we've heard of, a Class A prospect, if you're not playing him every day down the stretch.
How does he compare defensively, you're a baseball nerd, to Michael Saunders?
Everybody pretty much compares favorably to Michael Saunders now, way Saunders plays defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see Saunders taking a lot of bad routes to a ball. I'm not up on
it. Part of it is the injuries, too, right? This guy used to play center field, but he just can't move as well as he used to.
Sure. So
there's
some
wear and tear on the wheels, yeah, absolutely.
So if he plays every day, is Saunders switching to right? I still like Bautista's arm out there. I don't love how he runs out there, but
yeah, but that the arm thing has started to take a bit of a dip, and he doesn't show it off as much after trying to throw out Delman Young at first base a couple of years ago. This is the other part of this as well as the Blue Jays acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. and maybe he adds a little different dimension to this Blue Jays team that they haven't had this season with the speed and the outfield defense. The other part of this is there's a couple of teams that were in on him that are playoff teams right now. Baltimore Orioles apparently were hot on his heels, The Cleveland Indians apparently also in the mix for Melvin Upton Jr. So yeah. Okay. you deny those teams the ability to go and improve their offenses quite a bit. Not that the Orioles need much improvement when right. it comes to the offense. They need pitching. But it is interesting that the Blue Jays, oh, we talk about, oh, they have no prospects left. They have nobody left to trade away to try and improve their team before the deadline because they traded them all away last year. Seems as though maybe that was overstated. And we got to wait to see the return, I guess.
Upton probably plays on a daily basis, but I almost see him moving around a little bit because Michael Saunders is going to need some time off. Bautista is going to need some time off. I'm not saying Kevin Pillar necessarily needs it, but sometimes when you adjust lineups and so forth, and it's always, even recently with sitting down Josh Donaldson having Darwin Barney play third base, just give him a little bit of time off. Get him off his feet. You're going to need Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista, players like that down the stretch, if you can sub them out once in a while. And I think Michael Saunders fits into that category as well.
Also, we're waiting to see how much of the money is going to be eaten by the San Diego Padres, if any. Either way, he's under contract for next season. So this is, and there will be a sect of Blue Jays fans who say, 100%, this is, okay, this is just like somehow Justin Smoke signing an extension means the end of Edwin Encarnacion's tenure in Toronto after this season.
This is the end of Jose, is that what you're saying?
There's going to be a lot of takes in that regard, which was likely the case anyways. But it gives you a little bit of an idea. Okay, so now you got two outfield spots figured out for 2017. Melvin Upton's in the outfield with Kevin Pillar. So that's two-thirds of your outfield for 2017.
Yeah, the more I think about it, yeah, he does provide flexibility. Back in the day, Upton played a little infield. He played shortstop, third base, and second base. He hasn't done that in a long time.
Yeah, we're not going to see him doing that on this
No,
team.
But you never know with injuries. It's a nice little thing to have down the stretch. I'm intrigued how I think he gives the Jays something different at the bottom of the lineup with Pillar and him having some speed. You create runs in a different fashion at the bottom of the order, and you have all your mashers at the top. I know some people will wonder, does he go to the top of the lineup? I think we'll continue to see Yikes. Jose Bautista
yeah. no, I think
in that role, as weird as that is.
At the bottom of the lineup, I'm cool with him. Honestly, I'm probably cool with him over Justin Smoke, and maybe that's just the substitution you're making here. No more Justin Smoke, and instead it's Melvin Upton Jr. in your lineup, which is, on the surface, those guys have similar numbers, but Upton's hit in a way worse hitter's ballpark. It's fun. We got breaking news at 6:25 in the morning. I love that. We're going to be all over this story. Again, if you missed it, breaking news moments ago, Ken Rosenthal tweeting that the Blue Jays and Padres have agreed upon the details of this Melvin Upton Jr. trade, and it's going to be finalized today, maybe even in the lineup against his old team.
I was just going to say, does he walk across the Rogers Center into the new dressing room?
We saw this happen a couple of years ago when the Blue Jays were in Seattle, right? And we saw Eric Thames traded for Steve Delabar in the middle of that series. Weird how that happens. But yeah, we'll be all over that. And we'll be all over it with our next guest as well. Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet's own, going to check in with us from Newfoundland. And I'm sure he's already seen this story and has a take on it. And we'll hear what that is exactly. Again, Blue Jays on the verge of acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. It's Dean Blundell and Company, Ben Ennis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's my favorite music. 6:32, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Dean Blundell and Company, Ben Ennis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau. It's the breaking news music. We have movement. Toronto Blue Jays trade movement. This is part of the update for A. Farber and Partners. Here's Ken Rosenthal this morning on Twitter. Sources: Blue Jays agree to acquire Melvin Upton Jr. from the Padres for Class A prospect. Financial terms not known. Likely finalized today. So yes, Blue Jays on the verge of aiding their outfield depth in a guy who has big power. He's shown that this season. 20 steals as well, Dave. And a guy who is under contract for 2017 as well. So you add a little bit of depth. Who knows exactly how it's going to affect the lineup, because maybe it's Justin Smoke on the outside looking in, despite the fact that you're adding an outfielder and a guy that if Jose Bautista does depart for free agency in the offseason under contract and plays the outfield in 2017.
Yeah, there's your replacement. 31 years old, as you mentioned, some home run power, 16 home runs, 45 RBI. Kind of reluctant when I say on base percentage of 304. That has to increase dramatically. And a lot of experience in this American League East. Of course, he was a major, major prospect, starting off with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time at the age of 19. So he is back in the American League East and going to be interesting to see if he's in this lineup tonight. He was a scratch yesterday for the Padres.
I guess we figured that one out.
And I think we know why, because this has been talking, and guess what? There is a trade being moved, and reports say, as you mentioned, it could happen as early as this morning.
Also, Blue Jays beat the Padres yesterday 4-2. Aaron Sanchez 11-1 now. He went 7 scoreless. Marcus Stroman against Andrew Cashner tonight, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet and Sportsnet. Now, big trade was also completed yesterday. Cubs acquiring Yankees closer Aroldis Chapman for a 4-player package that includes top prospect shortstop Gleyber Torres. Chapman, 28 years old. He's a pending free agent. He was 3-0 with an ERA just over 2, 20 saves in 31 games with the Yankees this season. 17-year-old Canadian Denis Shapovalov, the biggest win of his career, beating world number 19 Nick Kyrgios in 3 sets of the Rogers Cup yesterday. The action resuming at 11 o'clock this morning on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 1. The Leafs signing forward Peter Holland and defenseman Frank Corrado to 1-year deals as they avoid arbitration with both of those gents. And the Argos had their first win at BMO Field. They beat the Alouettes 30-17 yesterday. Ricky Ray, 3 touchdowns, as he did leave the game in the fourth quarter after taking a hit to the knee. 6:35, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Happy to be joined now by Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet's own in Newfoundland as we speak. And Stephen, thanks for this. And yeah, it's always fun when you get breaking news in the 6 o'clock hour. It doesn't happen very often when you're doing this radio show. But yeah, Ken Rosenthal doesn't sleep apparently, and breaking that the Blue Jays on the verge of acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. What's your initial reaction?
Well, you know, when this came, we started being rumored that they were interested in Melvin Upton. I think it was a surprise to a lot of people in kind of Blue Jay world, you know, in the fan world anyway, the idea, well, they need pitching, they need starting pitching or a reliever. They need protection depending on what they do with Sanchez. And I don't think anybody was sitting there saying, but they and especially they need another outfielder. But it's an interesting, you know, it's a 2016 move that's also a 2017 move. It gives them some flexibility. You know, Melvin Upton is a guy who, you know, he's like a better Ben Revere. He's a really good defender, could play center field. He hits for power, which Revere certainly didn't do. Doesn't get on base as much as you'd like. Doesn't walk as much as you'd like. But he's an outfield piece for this year that, you know, means you can use him defensively. That means you can kind of shake that batting order up a little bit at times and give guys a day off. You can DH Jose Bautista and maybe protect him a little bit. And it's also, and again, you can't discount it, it's also a 2017 move because two of their 3 starting outfielders are going to be gone.
Stephen, good morning. You kind of touched on it there. I wanted to break it down a little bit more. Does this mean that we can expect Jose Bautista more in the DH spot and maybe even seeing some time at first base, thus sending Justin Smoke to the bench a little more often?
Yeah, I think that's the natural kind of that's how the dominoes fall here. Is that Justin Smoke becomes a not quite a pure defensive replacement, but I think that's kind of that's how they'll use him. He'll be a late innings defensive replacement at first for either Edwin or Jose, depending on how they handle the DH spot. And it takes at bats away from Justin Smoke, which, you know, the way he's hitting at the moment is not that terrible a thing. And it allows them to, it gives them some flexibility. And again, I think it makes them a better defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, Jose Bautista, even before he got hurt, is a declining defensive player. There's no question about that. He's not what he used to be in right field. You know, Michael Saunders is okay in left field, but they, you know, as with last night, they have brought in defensive replacements for him. Mm-hmm. They brought in Zeke last night. So I think it makes you a better defensive team. Also gives you a base running option you don't really have. You know, there's not a lot of base running threats on this team right now.
No.
And Upton's stolen 20 bases this year. So gives you another option. You know, even if he's a bench, even if he's coming off the bench, gives you one more weapon. Not that this team's going to run a lot, But again, as with Revere last year, it kind of just changes the mix a little bit.
Talking to Stephen Brunt of Sportsnet, and again, if you're just tuning us in right now, the breaking news today, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports tweeting, sources, Blue Jays agree to acquire Melvin Upton Jr. from the Padres for Class A prospect, financial terms not known, likely finalized today. And Stephen, I do think, like, Melvin Upton's career is such a weird one, because you talk about him and his on-base percentage being just a paltry 304 this season. Guy did have a 383 on base back in 2008, and he played 145 games. It took almost 100 walks that season, but it almost seems like he's trying to figure out throughout his career whether he's a power hitter or an on base guy, because he's also had 28 homer seasons, and in those seasons, his on base is under 300. So he's shown the ability, and the one constant is the defense and the stolen bases, but he's shown there's a reason he's on a big ticket right now, is that so many teams have been tantalized by the possibilities surrounding this guy.
Yeah, no, he's a guy who people thought would be a star. You know, I mean, maybe not quite a superstar, but certainly a 30-30 guy. Mm-hmm. And that's why Atlanta got him. That's been his. You know, you're right. Tantalizing is the right word. The potential, and he has shown parts of that in different seasons, including this season. But he has never kind of turned into the total package. You know, a guy that. That gets on base consistently, takes walks, and hits for power. You're right. He's been kind of one or the other. So that's, you know, in part, that's why he's available. You know,
yeah,
that's why he,
right.
You know, that's why he's not leading the San Diego Padres to the postseason this year. You know, there's a lot of other issues there as well, obviously. But, yeah, he's one of those, you know, he's one of those guys. There's a lot of them out there in baseball who, you know, for one reason or another, you know, all of it doesn't come together. And, of course, you know, look, the Blue Jays, not that – you know, I'm not making the comparison, but they've taken flyers on players who were, you know, had a huge potential but showed flaws in other organizations, and sometimes it's panned out. See Edwin Encarnacion, and sometimes it hasn't panned out. But this is, you know, but I don't think they're bringing him in here thinking. I think they're bringing him in thinking he's going to be a starting outfielder in 2017. I do think that, but I don't know that anybody thinks that Melvin Upton's going to be a superstar anymore.
Steven, financially speaking, there's a $16 million ticket on his contract next season. Ben and I kind of talked about it briefly before we had you on. Do the Padres eat up some of this salary?
Well, I guess the discussion has been from, you know, again, from what I can gather will be, it kind of depends on who the prospect is that's going over, because the value of the prospect will be balanced out by how much salary the Padres eat this year. So, if they send a real blue chipper over there, the Padres will probably eat most of the money for this season. But if it's, you know, but if it's someone less than that, then I think the Blue Jays will, you know, it'll be worked out that way. I would think the Jays, you know, even the prorated last part of his deal this year, would probably prefer not to take on a ton of money, because
yeah,
it'll hurt their flexibility. They still have work to do here. They still have to go out and get some pitching, but. You know, it'll really depend on who that prospect is going the other way. One of the rumbles out there was that the Padres might have taken on Drew Storen and taken that money, so it would have been a bit of a push. But that doesn't seem, so far, that's not what's being reported, so we'll see. But, you know, that's how these things tend to balance out. And I don't know, you know, again, A-ball prospect, there's a lot of guys in the Jays organization. It could be somebody we've talked about. It could be somebody we haven't talked about at all. It's not, what we know is it's not Rowdy Tellez, and it's not Connor Green. It's not some of the guys that have already been bumped up to Double-A. So we'll see who it is.
Yeah, Blue Jays fans hoping it's a guy they've never heard of, and not someone they have. And there's a bunch of those in Single-A this season. But, Steven, to that point about the Blue Jays farm system, and so much was talked about the Blue Jays maybe having an inability to make a move like this season because the cupboard was almost bare after all the moves they made last season. Well, you know what? There were two other real good teams in on Melvin Upton Jr., apparently, in Cleveland and Baltimore. And, well, okay, one of if two things might have happened here. One is the Blue Jays just made a bigger push for him. The other, the Padres might have just liked the Blue Jays prospects better than certainly the Orioles farm system hasn't exactly been heralded by baseball people this season. And the Indians, too. Maybe the Padres just liked what the Blue Jays had to offer in that farm system.
Yeah, some combination of that. And however the money part of the deal worked out, you know, you don't know how much money the Indians would have been willing to absorb, or how much money the Orioles would have been willing to absorb. You know, not teams that are, you know, generally, especially Cleveland, haven't had a lot of payroll flexibility in recent years, although they've got an awfully good team this year. So it's again, it's all those kind of those balances between the talent offered and the money taken on or not taken on. But it's look at the A-ball level. You know, the Blue Jays have a bunch of interesting guys.
Yeah.
You know, but if you if you're you know, betting on A-ball prospects to make it to the major leagues, you're going to lose a lot of money. It's a crapshoot at that level. So it's you know, what they don't have are a lot of major league ready prospects. They have, you know, if you want to count Dalton Pompey still as a prospect, you have him, and you know, Tellez might be a year away, but doesn't really have a position, and that's kind of it. So yeah, they don't have a lot of guys, you know, just kind of beaten down the doors of the major leagues. But yeah, they have some stuff at the A ball level, low A ball level that they could certainly deal. And I think they would be loath to deal away some of their best prospects right now because they're trying to rebuild the system. But again, it depends what they're offered.
Before we let you go, Stephen, got to go down the Aaron Sanchez route for at least a question here. And he was outstanding again yesterday, but that's no big surprise. He's 11-1 this season. He's been absolutely incredible, very much in the conversation when it comes to American League Cy Young Award voting at the end of the season. And still, the Blue Jays have not said definitively one way or the other, where I guess maybe they are saying definitively they're thinking about it, because they used to say definitively he was going to the bullpen. They're not saying that anymore. It's almost August here. He's got one more start in July, and then it is August, and then you're talking about maybe eliminating less than 10 starts if you take him out of the rotation, put him in the bullpen. Also, we know this team is very much pushing towards winning a World Series in 2016. That's a guy who starts game one or two of a playoff series without question. Can you, if you're trying to win a World Series, just deprive yourself of that opportunity to get 7-8 innings out of Aaron Sanchez in a playoff series?
Well, look, if this was purely a competitive decision, you know, about winning the World Series, then there wouldn't be any question about it. They'd have Aaron Sanchez there, you know, pitching every 5 days and pitching into the postseason. There's no question about that. He makes them better. And whoever they get, if they manage to land a starter, is not going to be as good as Aaron Sanchez, because, you know, he's one of the four or five best pitchers in baseball right at this moment.
Yeah.
So, but it's not, you know, it's about, it is an evolving science, but it is not an exact science. The idea of young pitchers' arms, you know, what the wear and tear means, trying to protect them as long as you can, trying to forestall Tommy John surgery. You know, you hate to even say it, but that's what we're talking about here. And, you know, not losing a year of a guy and not maybe having him come back as something less than what he used to be. So it's, you know, it's a very difficult calculation. And if the only consideration was winning in 2016, they would run him out there every and you know, all the old school guys who say don't baby pitchers, they would say sure, let's go. But they're, you know, they're protecting an incredibly, incredibly valuable asset. You know, arguably the most valuable asset in the entire organization. And they're trying to figure it out. I think all of their wise people, their sports science people, are watching every start with this guy, trying to say, is there something we can pick up here that says, you know, that we are increasing the risk of him being hurt? And he goes out there and mows down the Padres last night and looks as good as anybody in baseball, and everybody says, well, you can't take him out of the rotation. But it is a more complicated, you know, calculation than that. I know if I'm John Gibbons, you know, and my job is to win, and my job is going to be judged on whether we win win in the postseason, I know what I want, but I understand organizationally why they have to have that conversation. You know, you don't, if Aaron Sanchez walks off the mound holding his elbow one day, that'll be a very tough day for every Blue Jay fan and everybody in this organization. And I know that's unpredictable. You can't just say, well, if he pitches X number of innings and throws X number of pitches, that's what's going to happen. It's way, you know, it's way trickier than that, but that's what they're trying to forestall. And I don't envy them this one. It's, you know, the good part is that you have Aaron Sanchez on your team, and he's tremendous, and he's taken a huge step this year. But that is a tough one for a team that is, you know, very, very much in contention right now.
Yeah, and you can hear it in John Gibbons' voice and the answers to his questions whenever he's asked about Aaron Sanchez, that he's sick about answering it, and it's a difficult decision for the entire organization. Stephen, thanks for this.
See you guys.
There's Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet's own. When we come back, again, breaking news, a According to Ken Rosenthal, the Blue Jays on the verge of acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. from the San Diego Padres. We'll get back into that coming up on the other side of the break. Ben Annis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau, it's Dean Blundell and Company, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now back to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
.653 Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Dean Blundell and Company, Ben Annis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau. Breaking news again, if you haven't heard, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports reporting the Blue Jays are on the verge of acquiring Melvin Upton Jr. for a Class A prospect. No word on how the financials are going to break down. Upton Jr. didn't play yesterday, which was kind of curious. Blue Jays were rumored to be interested, as well as the Orioles and the Indians. Not 100% sure how this works from a lineup perspective, and certainly the financial aspect, Dave, is the most interesting, I think, to Blue Jays fans. It's probably going to affect what kind of prospect is going back to the Padres as well.
No, exactly. When you look at the numbers as far as contracts are concerned, Melvin Upton Jr. becomes the ninth Blue Jay player to have a $10 million dollar salary per season, at, you know, north of that, of course, at 15 this year, 16 next year. So it'll be interesting because you also have to put into consideration Jose Bautista is still a concern for next year. Edwin Encarnacion, Michael Saunders is only making $2.9 million this year. There's going to be some serious upgrades as far as salaries are concerned, and they've added this to the payroll.
He's a guy in Melvin Upton Jr. who's shown flashes of brilliance, frankly, in his career. 2008, hit 273 with an on-base of 383 in that playoff run the Rays had to the World Series. He hit 7 home runs in 11 playoff games before the World Series. He has 20 stolen bases already this season, but he also has 106 strikeouts. He's played 92 games. Yeah. So he strikes out a bunch, and I'm not a big lineup construction guy and guys hitting ahead or behind other guys and how that affects their swing, their ability. But in this ballpark, in this lineup, I like Melvin Upton's chances. We will be all over this thing, and it continues top of next hour. Blue Jays on the verge of acquiring Melvin Upton Jr., and they continue their series against the Padres at Rogers Center tonight. Ben Annis, David Bastel, Ryan Favreau, it's Dean Blundell and Company, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.